أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I've been asked to talk on this vast and yet very critical topic called or titled Escaping Hellfire. And sure enough, if each one of us should choose one single thing in his lifetime to be preoccupied with, to be busy about, and to be focusing on, then that one thing should be escaping hellfire. And I want to preface the talk by a verse from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon us and orders us directly to work on avoiding the hellfire, not only us as individuals, but those who are dependent on us as families and blood relatives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. The approximate translation of the meaning of this verse, which is a call upon the believers. O believers, prevent and avoid yourselves and your families, your immediate families, your dependents, a fire. What is the character of this fire? The fuel of this fire is two components that's mentioned here. It's very critical to examine these two components. An-nas, the people, wal-hijara, and the stone. And we have to look and search for the similarities between the people, the human beings, the life, flesh and blood that we see walking around in this earth, and the stones, the solid rock. For some reason, these two components are going to be thrown in together in the hellfire as a fuel. وَقُودُ وَنَاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَابٌ شِدَادٌ. There is a group, a category of angels that are guarding and supervising and running this hellfire, who have two basic characteristics. They are very rough, غِلَابٌ شِدَادٌ. They are very mighty on you. They are very forceful upon you. غِلَابٌ شِدَادٌ. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. It's important when this says they will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will do exactly what is requested from them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, we need to ask ourselves, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention this character of the angels when they are talking about them supervising and running and implementing the punishment on the people of the hellfire? An explanation that might come to mind is that the type of punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking His angels to inflict on the people of the hellfire is so harsh, is so painful, is so agonizing, is unimaginable, is unbearable, that sometimes the person who is going to execute this order might hesitate to do, us as humans. Of course, the angels are not going to hesitate. But Allah Ta'ala uses attributes that are more familiar to us, so we can understand the real strength and the real burden of what Allah Ta'ala is mentioning. So it probably means that no matter how unbearable this inflicted punishment Allah Ta'ala wants to inflict upon the people who deserve the punishment in the hellfire, those angels are rough enough, are tough enough, that they will implement, they will execute the orders without even questioning it, no matter how unbearable, no matter how harsh it might seem. This should be a very critical red herring or red flag for us to try and even to imagine what kind of punishment is Allah Ta'ala talking about in the hellfire. With this order from Allah Ta'ala, I'm going to try to contain this talk, which is a very huge one, into a basic focus that I'm going to do today, inshallah. And that is try and conceptualize the issue of escaping hellfire in a way that will hopefully, inshallah Ta'ala, allow us to be always, at every moment, at every second of our life, aware of this entity. And I would start by mentioning a verse and a hadith that you will take some key points from and build upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Imran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul will have a taste of death. So that's an imminent happening. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Your rewards for your deeds or for whatever acts you have done, rewards and punishments, will be given to you on the Day of Judgment. So let's put this aside. Now please pay attention to this part of the verse, because it is the scary part. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازْ. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ. Allah Ta'ala mentions that every soul is going to die. Every act, every deed you have done, you're going to be rewarded or punished for in the hereafter. And then what is the final outcome of all of this? Is that he who gets moved, be careful, who gets moved from the fire and enters the Jannah, gets into Jannah, he's the one who wins. He is the winner. He is the succeeder. The word Zuhziha in Arabic in itself, the sound of the word, gives a sense of a particle or an object being stuck in place. And you are trying to exhibit a tremendous amount of effort to move that object from its stationary place to another area. So as if this verse is telling us that we, the individual, every individual human being, is in a way stuck in the hellfire until he is ready to exhibit and implement as much force, as much energy, as much strength that he has to try and move himself from the hellfire to the outside of the hellfire and inshallah to the Jannah. And yet Allah Ta'ala uses, he doesn't say فَمَنْ تَزَحْزَحَ, he doesn't use the verb attributing it to the individual as the subject who is performing that mobilization. He says فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ, meaning someone else is moving, and that's Allah Ta'ala allowing you to be moved from the hellfire to the Jannah. So and again, it means that all of the efforts we are going to be doing, all of the extraneous effort that we are going to be implementing in our life to try to mobilize ourselves from the hellfire to the Jannah, is not enough in its own to make us worthy of exiting Jahannam, wal-ayyadu billah, and entering Jannah. So who is going to give us that bestowment? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where, if you want to put in context, the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يدخل الجنة أحدكم, لا يدخل أحدكم الجنة بعمله. Nobody will enter the paradise just by his mere deeds. قالوا ولا أنت يا رسول الله, not even you, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال لا, إلا أن يتغمدني الله برحمته. It is a mercy of Allah ta'ala that you, number one, exit hellfire, number two, enter Jannah. So keep this half verse, few words in mind. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازْ. So this verse, this half verse, means that by default, each one of us has a place in hellfire. This is what it simply means. It's scary, but I think that's the purpose of the verse. It's to scare us. Not to scare us out of the mercy of Allah, to scare us into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. وَمَنْ حَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This verse, while warning you of the hellfire, while warning you of your default position if you don't work, gives you the diagnosis, the disease, and gives you the treatment. The disease is our misconception of life. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. We think that this life is worthy of something, while this life is worthy of nothing. It is just a deception. Why? مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Al-ghurur is a form of deceptiveness. And the cure is this reminder that Allah Ta'ala gives you. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Once you have this reminder in your life, you will not forget your default position in the hereafter. Let me relate an authentic hadith that further focuses on this issue. That we, each of one of us, has an assigned place in Jahannam, which the reward, the major reward of Allah Ta'ala for us in the hereafter is getting us out of that position. عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. So this is a narration from Anas ibn Malik, one of the Sahaba, that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم had said, إن العبد إذا وضع في قبره, the individual, the slave, once he dies and he is put in his grave, in his final position under the soil, وتولى عنه أصحابه, then the people who come and put him in the grave, they walk away. They put him, they cover him with the soil, and they walk away. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعُ قَرْعَ نِعَالِهِمْ. He will be listening to their footsteps as they march away from his graveyard. He's immediately in the barzakh, in the isthmus, in the life in between. أَتَاهُمْ مَلَكَان. Two angels will come to him. فَيُقْعِدَانِهِ. They will have him sit up. And the hows are not important. The importance is to take the message from here. فَيَقُولَان. These two angels are going to ask every single individual. مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. What do you say about this man, referring to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم? فَأَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ. The believer will answer. He says, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولَهُ. He says, I bear witness that he is the slave of Allah Ta'ala and he is the messenger of Allah Ta'ala. فَيُقَالُ لَهُ. The angel will tell him, and this is the key point in this hadith, انظر إلى مقعدك من النار. The angel will tell him, look at your seat in the hellfire. Look at your position in the hellfire. Look at your assignment in the hellfire. قد أبدلك الله به مقعدا من الجنة. Allah Ta'ala has substituted that for you by a seat, by a position, by an assignment in the paradise. فيراهما جميعا. The individual, the mu'min, the believer, not only will have the pleasure of seeing his seat in the Jannah, his place in the paradise, but he will have the relief, the deep relief of knowing that that place which was pre-designated, pre-assigned for him in Jahannam, the default position, is no longer his. And again, this re-stresses the fact that each one of us, brothers and sisters, has a place in Jahannam, has a guaranteed place in Jahannam. What we don't have is a guaranteed place in the Jannah. That's why when one of the Sahaba was reciting the verse of Allah Ta'ala, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. He was crying, he was weeping in tears. So one of the other companions was asking him, why are you crying? He said, because Allah Ta'ala has guaranteed that I'm going to come to the hellfire, but he hasn't given me the promise that I'm going to exit the hellfire. He has shown us the way of the exit, but he hasn't made that a guaranteed promise. He made a conditional promise for those who follow the pathway and follow the right way to get out of Jahannam and get into Jannah. So escaping hellfire is actually a process in which we